you can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Nope. New team. We have a different quarterback. We have different guys playing right now. Excited to go up there, but I don't put any stock into what we did last year.
Of course, that's Captain Cam. You can always tell his voice. And welcome, everybody, to the locker room. Think about this, Max. You're a college broadcaster, too. I mean, amongst the many things that you do, you wear many hats. And you go from pros to college, and you do it all. And I got to ask you this, because over 100 years ago, on this day, the worst beatdown in the history of college football occurred. Pigskin powerhouse Georgia Tech whooped Cumberland College 222-0, my friend.
That's actually ridiculous. That is like, at what point did they say, you know what, we might need to do a running clock. We might need to consider that.
Well, let me fill you in on a couple of the backstories, and then I got to get your professional opinion as a broadcaster of both the pro game and the college game and how you see this, okay? Cumberland disbanded their football program before the 1916 season, okay? So Cumberland's a small town college in Tennessee, right? They're just barely making it. But what happened was Georgia Tech played Cumberland in baseball. Now, the head coach of the Georgia Tech football team, follow me here, was also the head coach of the Georgia Tech baseball team. Now, the baseball team lost to Cumberland 22-0, okay?
Ooh.
The coach of the baseball and football team was a man by the name of John Heisman. Yeah, that Heisman, okay? So, they had a contract with Cumberland. Now, Heisman suspected that Cumberland stocked its baseball roster with professional ringers in baseball. Okay, so the beatdown came 22-0. Now, Cumberland comes in 1916. That was in the spring of 1915, okay? So in summer of 1916, you've got Cumberland having a contract to go to Atlanta and play Georgia Tech for football, but they had disbanded the football team. But Georgia Tech, John Heisman says, hey, you don't come, we're going to sue you, and you're going to owe us $3,000, which would have been, you know, probably half a mil in today's money. But he said, you know, and it's going to bankrupt Cumberland if they don't play the game. So Cumberland goes, okay, we're going to go. They go through all their frat houses. They come up with 13 frat boys to go down to Atlanta to play mighty Georgia Tech. And it was a whooping like you can't even believe. Is that amazing or what?
That I would say amazingly petty. That is exactly what you have to say.
I almost spit coffee all over.
Yes, exactly.
Wow,
that is petty with a capital P right there. And I have to say that you have to be some type of salty to say, even though you don't have a football team, you need to field something that resembles a football team. They just need a helmet, shoulder pads. I don't even care if they pass the physical. Just show up on the field, and we're prepared to just absolutely end you. You already ended your program. We're now making sure you never, ever, ever, ever start a football team again.
Listen to this now. Georgia Tech led 63-0 at the end of the first quarter, 126-0 at halftime, and they shut it down to only scoring 54 and 42 points in the third and fourth quarter, okay? Which, by what you said, Georgia Tech was kind enough to shorten from 15 to 12-minute quarters.
But here's the thing, though, Wolf. Hold on. Hold on.
Think about that.
No. First of all, let's think about the fact that you showed up with 13 guys. So it means after they failed on offense, they then needed to figure out what we were going to do on defense while being on the field. There was no like switch over for kickoff return, special teams. What special teams? They literally played. It was Iron Man football. Like, just stay on the field. Right. We'll bring a bucket out to you to dump on your face. Because this is also 1916. Right. There is no water bottle. The water bottle has not been in existence yet. You had to take turns running to a hose. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
There was no modern conveniences that we
no
think
air
of today.
Conditioning.
Oh, the traffic. There's no, yeah. You're sitting crisscross applesauce on the side of the field during halftime. Like there's no locker room. Well, you know what is this?
Now listen to this. Tech scored 32 touchdowns, including 6 on kick and punt returns. Cumberland had 15 turnovers, 9 fumbles lost, 6 interceptions. Now, Max, I'm picturing you calling this game. What are you doing? Yeah. Because the fill-in time had to be, like, just unbelievable.
Yeah, no, could you imagine this? All right, Cumberland College steps up to the line, and
look at that frat boy.
Johnny Sixpack Raymond is back at quarterback again. You know the stats on him. The guy apparently can do a 30-second keg stand. Wow, that has to be some kind of record there. He said his life goals are to be the man. That's right. You heard it. He actually is studying agricultural sciences right now, looking to hopefully have his first cow by spring of 1918. All right, there we go. Talking about some life goals. All right, Johnny drops back, and the ball drops back even further, and it's picked up by Georgia Tech. Guess what? It is, man killer on the recovery, and he strolls into the end zone again. Back to you guys.
Oh, my heavens. My stomach is my abs, what little abs I have are just killing me now. I'm laughing too hard. Think about this. Tech produced, now listen to this carefully. Tech produced 501 total yards on just 29 offensive plays. Max, I'm not kidding. Cumberland had minus 28 total yards, and neither team gained a first down because Cumberland didn't move the ball at all, and Georgia Tech scored so easily it didn't need to gain any first downs. They just scored.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I mean, what is that? I mean, all right, just think about this. Probably every turnover led to, like, a touchdown well. I mean, that's why you only have 500 yards of offense, because at some point you have to kick off to the other team. You know, but here's a question. Who kicked it off, though? Right? I mean, well, it's like in the frat house, did you find a soccer player? I don't think soccer was really that big of a thing in the Americas back in the early 1900s. So...
Well, I will tell you this. They did talk about one play in particular. Georgia Tech kicked off. The guy fumbled it. The kicker tackled he hit the guy and the ball carrier, and he fumbled the punt. The kicker picked the ball up and ran into the end zone. I mean, when's the last time you saw a kicker make a hit?
Why not?
Much less.
Apparently 1916, Wolf.
Apparently that would be 1916.
The last time a kicker kicked it, tackled it, and returned it.
I'm thinking, could you have seen some interviews after the game? That would be unbelievable.
There,
Cowboys. That's the worst beatdown I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you know what, guys? Wolf, Max, yeah. I actually got some exclusive audio here.
I went back
in the archives, and I found, you know, when the two coaches, John Heisman of Georgia Tech, when he met Cumberland coach George Allen at the 50-yard line after the game to shake his hand, here's what he had to say.
Now go away, or I shall taunt you a second time.
Of course, that was Coach Heisman.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
It was all honked off. This was all about the fact that Cumberland beat Georgia Tech 22-0 in the spring of 1915. The year before, 1915. They beat Georgia Tech 22-0, and all because Heisman suspected that Cumberland fielded a bunch of professional ringers as the baseball players.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
So it's either that John Heisman said that, or he came off like Kirk Cousins talking about, you like that? You like that, George, huh? You like that?
You like that? You want more? You want more of that?
You want more?
Oh, man.
Or Debo when he saw Red's daddy when he asked back for his bike. You want some too, old man?
Wait a minute. Whoa. This is another story. What's this?
No, this is a movie Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, right. No, there's a character, Debo.
You said Debo, I thought you were talking James Harrison.
So James Harrison is based off of this character. His nickname, Debo, was based from this character on a movie.
Oh, yeah. Man. I couldn't believe this when I read the backstory on Georgia Tech and Cumberland. And Cumberland, to keep from being bankrupted, sent 13 frat boys.
While being intimidated by the aforementioned Heisman Trophy namesake, John Heisman.
To be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, to be. Yeah, just imagine that. So every time you hold the Heisman, just know that you carry the weight of pettiness from centuries past.
John Heisman. It's amazing.
If you don't play him, he'll sue.
Oh, my heavens, Max. All I can say is, you know what? I'm sitting there, I'm trying to recover from laughing about this, and I'm sitting there going, I think my ab is going to cramp here.
You got one. That means you got one.
That's
a good sign.
Just one. If I got one ab, it's functional. Oh, my heavens. Okay.
Semantics. We don't count numbers. You said abs. We're going to go with that.
All right. We're going to move on to what sounds like the Fife and Drum injury report. Have you seen the injury report? I mean, you got six Bills that didn't even practice yesterday. And you got, of course, we got a number. But right now, we got Akello for the Steelers. You got Akello Witherspoon did not practice yesterday. Cam Sutton with the groin hammy, he was limited. Levi Wallace, he was limited with his foot. Minka got a knee. He's limited. Terrell Edmonds got a concussion. He's limited, but that's kind of an upgrade. Mason Cole, all of a sudden, he shows up on the injury report. He's got a foot. Cam Hayward, ankle, elbow, he was limited. And Chris Wormley with an ankle, he was limited. It's a little worrisome, isn't it?
Listen, considering what we saw on Sunday, guys dropping like flies, that's an upgrade.
That's true.
Hey, you didn't say out. You didn't say any outs, Wolf. You noticed that, right?
Well, I think Akello's going to be out, probably.
He might be, but he was also out last week.
He was out last week, too, yeah.
Yeah, so but everybody else, I'm encouraged by, like, okay, limited. I take limited.
Yeah.
Because as we know, as long as you still are somewhat practicing on Friday, you're available on Sunday.
That's true.
So
That's true. We'll have to see what it is today.
Today will be rubber meets the road. Who can actually participate means you get a shot at the 45 helmets on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so for the Bills, you got Tremaine Edmonds, Terrell's brother. He's got a hammy. He did not practice yesterday. Jordan Poyer, he's got ribs. This is a guy, he's got four interceptions already. Jordan Poyer does. He's got ribs. He did not practice. We got Dawson Knox with a foot and hammy. He did not practice. He's the tight end. Jamison Crowder, ankle. He did not practice. I think I wouldn't be surprised.
Crowder's been out.
Yeah, he's been out. Okay. I had a little twitch in one of those non-functional synapses in my brain, and it just suddenly fired. And went, oh, he's out. Okay, Jake Kumerow. He's another wide receiver. He did not practice. And cornerback Christian Benford with a hand. He did not practice. Now, they got four guys limited. Isaiah McKenzie, a wide receiver. Ed Oliver with an ankle. He was limited. Jordan Phillips, another defensive lineman. He's limited. And a backup offensive lineman, Justin Murray. But there's a number of questionables and, you know, nicked up guys going into this game pretty early in the year for that.
Yeah, no. I mean, they sound like The Walking Dead over there.
Would have been Cumberland
that is true.
222 to nothing beatdown.
Yeah, live look at Cumberland College football players, and it's just a dead fish, just a mackerel just sitting there on a table. That's about who they were. They had no clue what happened. No. You know, leather helmets are sideways. One guy's looking through the ear hole area. Another guy has his pants inside out.
This game, if you can call it a game, took place in Atlanta, all right, in October. It's still pretty warm there. They didn't even have Gatorade. Think about that.
Yeah, no, that did not get created until the 60s by the University of Florida.
There you go.
Go Gators.
Oh, my nerves. I just reading that, Max, I just couldn't get over the fact of how ridiculous it was that a guy named John Heisman, the guy that they named the Heisman Trophy after, would be so, you know, what's the word you use there? You know, picayune about the, you know, no, you're going to play because you beat us in baseball and you stocked the lineup with some maybe professional ringers there, bud. So you're going to pay by coming to Atlanta, Georgia, and then we're going to wail on like you've never seen. I mean, come on. Yeah. How you can be that petty?
Well, apparently that's how you get a trophy named after you, Wolf. So you say, how petty? I'll say, show me the trophy.
John, what is the most petty prized Heisman.
That's right. The most prized possession in all of college sports. You want the John Petty Heisman Trophy. So apparently that's how legends are made and how we can still talk about this game over 106 years later.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I couldn't believe it when I read that backstory. It was unbelievable to me that this guy, John Heisman, this Heisman Trophy that you go to New York City, the TV show and everything else, it's all about, you know, who's winning the Heisman in this big chase, you know, the whole Heisman watch throughout the whole season. I'm thinking about you and, you know, whether it's college or pros, you're doing a college game, you standing there at 220, at 126, what were you, if you're doing the halftime report, what do you say? Don't even play. Don't go out there, man. Don't do this.
Listen, just stay crisscross applesauce on the sideline, guys. Just don't even get – when they say kickoff or kickoff return, just turn and act like you don't have them. Or play dead. Play dead is always a good one. Play dead is one of my favorites. You know, act like your wife is calling you to do some type of chore. Just
I got to go.
Huh? What was that you say? Oh, sorry, guys. They said I can't play this game anymore. I got to go do real work.
You'd have 13 guys in concussion protocol right away.
Oh, no doubt all those guys were concussed. No question about it, Wolf. I don't even know why you would even question that.
Okay.
You know, they definitely had overalls on with those helmets. I'm just saying. There's no way they came out there. They didn't even know the formations, Wolf. They probably had to have the defense tell them how to line up. I mean, just at this point, that's
13 guys.
And at that point, you know, imagine when you're trying to get the roster, right? You know how we usually, you know, get this nice printed up roster.
Right.
I figure they had to be on some type of Corona typewriter. This one was like handwritten on like the back of a napkin. Like here's what's his name again? Sauce. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we have a guy by the name of Just Sauce. You know how you had that one guy in the frat house? He just went by the nickname. Nobody really knew his real name.
Right.
You know,
yeah. Sauce.
Here's Toadstool. Yeah. Toadstool. That's
Can you
creative nickname?
Can you imagine halftime and you're in Cumberland going, I don't want to go back out there.
Yeah, could you imagine what do you say if you're George Allen to these guys? Hey guys, appreciate it. Hey, enjoy that ham sandwich on the ride home. I'll tell you, I hope you got teeth enough
to chew it.
Yeah, exactly. I made it myself. Don't worry. That was good. No, don't worry. I have a couple without cheese. Don't worry. No. I got you toadstool. Hey, you're lactose intolerant. Okay, got it, bud.
Okay, let's go to break. I'm dying here.
Let's go to break. All right. I can promise you we will come back after this break, unlike Cumberland College. We come back here in the locker room with Wolf Starks on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Shotgun snap, he's back, big rush. Over the middle, fire move, down inside the five, first and goal at the 2-yard line. He was cartwheeled short of the goal line.
All right. In the immortal words of our good friend Craig Wolfley, my co-host, the moose is on the loose. And I'm saying it through my empty tooth.
Oh, you are a rhymer, my man.
Yes. No, but, Wolf, I wanted to preview that, hearing Kenny Pickett with that play, because we have something fun that we're going to start doing every Friday here. Yin's Chat. Yin's Chat is the Steelers predictive trivia game. Answer questions, make picks, and win prizes. Play on your own versus Steeler Nation or in our new public group, or create your very own private group to compete against family and friends. You can play Yin's Chat exclusively in the Steelers official mobile app. That's right. If you go into the App Store, you type in Steelers, and that pops up. That is the app to do it. Sign up, and now you get all your Steelers news right delivered to your phone. But we want to preview the weekly question, Wolf, and I want to get your thoughts on this one.
Okay,
it's a pretty good one.
All right.
So I preview Kenny Pickett throwing the Pat Fryer move there.
Very nice.
That gives you a little bit of essence of what we're going to go
a
with.
A clue, would you say?
Yes. So this week's question is Kenny Pickett passing completions, 20.5 over or under on that one. So Kenny Pickett passing completions over or under 20.5. So to help people out here, Kenny, in a half of football last week with no reps with the starting unit, really, he had 10 completions, 10 of 13 completions. I actually could have probably have had 11, actually 12. I take that back. He could have had 12 out of 13. The Pat Freiermuth one is the only one I'm not going to consider because that one he said he was trying to throw it away.
Right.
But the Chase Claypool one and then, of course, the Deontay Johnson almost touchdown, half a hair, a pedicure away from a touchdown.
That was Trubisky, though, right? Yeah, that was Trubisky.
Was that Trubisky?
Yeah.
Was that Trubisky to Deontay?
Yeah.
That was. Oh, that's right. Yep. You know what? I take that back.
Far be it for me to be a fact checker of you, my man, but.
You are a fact checker. That's right, because three incompletions were all three interceptions.
That's right.
So technically, you went perfect.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I think that's pretty fair. What do you think about that? 20 and a half completions.
Boy, that's
for Kenny
a tough
Pickett
one
in this game.
Because it's right at that point you look and go, okay, he completed 10 and a half, 20 in a game, but at 20.5. Oh, that's just shaving it, man. That's like, I don't know, that's like a Heisman mean, you know?
Yeah. But you think about it, you figure if the offense is running through him and he's actually getting the reps this week.
Right.
I mean, but that also means you're throwing the ball, I would have to say, at least 30 times.
At least.
In the game.
What
at
what
least
we
30
find
times to
what's
give him
the
a good
weather
shot
report?
At that.
You looked up the weather the other day, didn't you? When that you looked
yes,
it up?
Yeah. I looked it up, and I could say, hold on, give me 1 second here. I'm about to pull it back up. Because you know it changes.
Yeah, Buffalo is very changeable in weather. There's no doubt about it.
It is fickle in Buffalo. I thought it was going to be in the low 60s, high 50s.
That's what I remember you talking about and saying before. It was kind of like the weather, the low would be in the 60s, that sort of thing.
All right, so Sunday, high is 59, low of 47 degrees, partly cloudy. So
bring a warm jacket, Max. Don't be pulling none of that.
Listen, winds 15 to 25 miles an hour.
So you know
during
what that's
day.
Do? Okay. Yeah. This is a 1 o'clock kickoff, correct?
Yes.
Okay, 1 o'clock kickoff. We got winds. I'm going to say under.
Yeah, you go under.
Yeah,
I like the under as well. I think this is Buffalo is just such a torrentially bad place to play, no matter what time of year.
Yes,
but especially when you get into October, November, and December is unthinkable.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Like
December
brutal,
is just unbearable. I mean, remember that snow game from New England last year?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I don't miss this at all. I mean, what are you thinking? Because I remember back, what was that? That was my second year in the league in Pittsburgh. Was the first time I ever played in a snow game.
Really?
It was 05 against the Bears. Yeah. The Bears 05 game.
No kidding. Oh, man.
I never
what
played
a game
in the
that
snow.
Was. Oh, that,
yeah.
That was so electric. That was Bears, Steelers, snow, bussy. Oh, that was all kinds of great stuff.
Iconic moment, but it was iconic for me because I'd never played in snow. So that was the
really
first
huge.
Time. And snow was not on the menu for that day.
Oh, really?
That kind of just – remember, because the game started, it was just cold.
Right, right.
And then in the second quarter, it's like snow blindness just came in. Like, the snow just came out of nowhere over the mountains up there, you know, good old Alleghenies. It just came over and then just absorbed the field out of nowhere.
You know,
I was like, what is going on?
I remember that moment when Jerome Bettis ran over Brian Urlacher. I mean, that was – you want to talk about one of the hits of hits. Because I actually made the statement. I said, if this was during deer hunting season – you'd see a Yinzer pull out in a camouflage Jeep and put Urlacher across the front of his hood because that was roadkill. That was roadkill, man.
I mean, and that was a 16-pointer too, Wolf, so you know that was big points.
Big points on busing.
Yeah.
That was a great hit by Jerome Bettis on Brian Urlacher.
I enjoyed the replay because it happened like right over our side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Red pulled. Me and Kendall went on a down block on the three technique, so
right.
We were on the ground. And then I just got up a new bus. He got in the end zone. That's all I knew.
It was unbelievable. What a great, great play. Yeah. That was a great run, man.
I actually think on the replay, I think my right butt cheek is in that.
Oh, really?
I think my right butt cheek is in that one.
Okay, so if anybody
on one of the still shots.
Yeah, if you see the still shots, you can look it down in the corner, and you'll see Max's butt cheek there.
Yeah, you'll see my hindquarter there.
A quarter
I think
of your
it was,
hindquarter.
Well, I think it was butt and thigh. I think I got butt and thigh in the photo.
Well, it's important for us to recognize that. I mean, that's how I got in the Hall of Fame. I'm in Franco's Hall of Fame shot. If you look at the Hall of Fame shot, he's carrying the ball, and there's this guy who's like stumbling and falling down in front of him. And it's if you look in that right-hand corner, that's my right leg.
See, once again, hey. Doesn't matter how you get in there.
Yeah.
You got in there.
I'm in the
That's
Hall
all
of
that
fame,
matters.
Baby.
I was until they redid it.
No.
I actually made it in where you walked into the hall and they had like the Gatorade bucket kind of coming down over a coach, like a cutout of the actual real bucket. And it was kind of, you know, placed on the wall. And then there's a picture of me and Marvell dumping it on Coach Cower.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So when we played in the Hall of Fame game against the Saints, we did the tour the day before, and I got to see it, and I was like, oh, my God. So I took a picture with it because I was like, this is probably not going to be here forever. And it was not, so I was right. So I'm glad I got photo evidence that I actually was in the Hall of Fame at some point.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, my worst Hall of Fame moment was we played in the Hall of Fame game, and they would give you a tour of the Hall of Fame the day before the game. So we're in there, and I'm walking around with Mike Webster, and Mike goes, "Oh, you got to see this photographer contest, you know, the best shots of the year they have in the Hall of Fame." They put the pictures up, and one of the finalists was me and Webby. We're working a scoop. Now, Webby hooked Wilson Whitley, the nose tackle, from the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, unfortunately, I was going to cut him, but Webby was going to go on up to the linebackers, what I thought we were doing. But instead, Webby hooked and turned him. So when I cut him, it was the worst cheap shot in the back of the legs. And Webby is pressing him, as he's hooking him. So we're bending him into a U, you know, where his head's coming back to his heels. It's the worst cheap shot I think I've ever seen. And Webby goes, "Oh, look at that. They immortalized your cheap shot." I'm going, "It's your fault. You were supposed to go on to the linebacker, you idiot." And we're arguing in the Hall of Fame over who was supposed to. Let's not argue over who it who, you know.
But it was one of the, who eat who in this scenario.
Oh, man. I was like looking and going, "Can we take the picture down?" Because you're feeling very vulnerable right at that moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, this is photographic evidence of me being a menace. That's exactly what it is.
It is. It's a terrible moment. You're going, "I really did that? Wow."
Hey, and here's the other thing. It's not fuzzy like a Sasquatch photo where you can kind of deny it. No, it's in full clarity. You know, I don't even know what the clarity was for cameras back then, but I imagine it was very clean.
I think it was, yeah, there's no mistaking who it was. And that was so funny by the fact we were arguing about it. But certainly, you know, one of the things coming up, going to Buffalo as we kind of reload here, is, the thought process of Kenny and throwing the ball. I hope it's not too windy, because I know Josh Allen can throw it up there. All right, Josh Allen, he's used to it. That's home cooking. You're used to that sort of thing. But for a young quarterback about to make his first start going into a hostile environment that includes hostile winds, that can be even more of a problematic sort of thing, especially on any throws over 10 yards, 15 yards down the field.
Well, and also, Wolf, I mean, we also have to remember this offense is also the same offense that when Ben Roethlisberger came down with COVID last year and put Mason Rudolph in fresh off of a couple of reps during the week, they made him throw 50 times against the Lions. So, a clear, windy, rainy night in Pittsburgh where it said every indication said run, 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 and then run some more, and then maybe screen, and then run it again. And then when you think you're going to pass, run a draw, and then run again. That's what the forecast was supposed to be, but instead we have 50 passes and a tie at the end of the game. So I do not put it past him to call it and try and throw against the wind. But I think it'll be one of those things. It's so tough to judge up there.
Yes,
because the wind swirls inside the stadium.
Oh, unbelievable!
So I will have my jacket packed. Wolf. Don't worry about that.
Yes.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah. I will have the jacket packed. I'm not doing the thermal underwear though. So sorry, and Dad, don't share those with me. Don't share those with me.
Max, let me put it straight to you, buddy. My thermal underwear would be like boxers on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're a little bit taller and bigger than me.
It's like, who needs full length when you can have capris, three quarter length.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But,
Max, my ankle is like, go up to Wolf, like, hey, Wolf, I just want to let you guys know my ankles are frozen, guys, from the wind here. But the rest of me feels fine. It's amazing.
Yeah, if we actually had thermals that got down to my ankles, we'd be fine. But no.
Exactly. No.
Right.
But I do put it, you're going to have to throw it somewhat in this game.
Yeah.
Because we know what the Buffalo Bills are. We know how they can start putting points up in bunches. So in order to combat that, you're going to have to use some elements of the pass, because the Bills are going to be praying that you run the football, right? I mean, you'll play right into their hands with running the football. So I think you do have to do some passes. I think early on, to get Kenny feeling comfortable, you got to get some now routes in there. You've got to get some short concept bangers, bang, bang type of plays. and then mix it up with the run. But the run does have to be established. I think that we got the offensive line in a place where I feel comfortable with how we're going to start with the run and start to progress in that direction. But, yeah, I don't know about those long bomb plays. I mean, I don't see them unless it is remarkably still at a moment when you actually pass the football. But I don't think that's it. So Kenny Pickett's accuracy and wind adjustments. You know, usually when you're having to fire something long distance, it's usually have a spotter. You know, that's what snipers have. They have a spotter that gives them the drop rate and the windage and how that's affected. But, you know, you don't have that in football. So Kenny has to be able to dial himself in and dial himself up on his own. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes with the game flow.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Max, is Von Miller trying to pull a Joey Porter? You know what Joey does. You know how he does it. And he gets people fired up. Well, we'll kick it around and we'll tell you. Stick with us. Stick with SNR.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Everyone thinks we're underdogs, but we don't. Who thinks you're underdog, bud? Like, geez, Kenny. Nobody said what? Stop it, Kenny. Stop it, Kenny.
Don't try to get crazy on us, man. We're just come in and play the game. Don't. Hey, why is he looking at the spread? Nobody looks at the spread of the game. Like, nobody's looking at none of that. Like, we're just getting ready to play the Steelers, bro. Like, don't try to get fake mad at you know, don't try to get crazy on us, man. Nobody thinks you're underdogs, Kenny. Like, you're trying to, don't do it. No, don't do it. Stop it, man. Stop, Kenny.
You know, that's Von Miller on his Voncast or whatever it's called. But, you know, Kenny Pickett was asked a question about being a 14-point underdog, which the Steelers have never been. And we're the last team, I believe, in the NFL to actually have any sort of a 14-point dog tag to this thing. But, you know, he was asked about it. And so he says, everyone thinks we're underdogs, but we don't. Now, that doesn't seem inflammatory at all to me. But it reminded me of Jeremy Stevens making a certain quote in Detroit before a certain Super Bowl that Joey Porter blew up and made a personal one big chip out of that comment. What say you, Max? You were there. You lived it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's one of those moments where you see what the line is, and we can't help it. You know, on this side of everything, that you know we're looking at lines and games.
Right.
I mean, that's just the current state of our society, right? With the advent of sports betting and in-game betting parlays and everything else, you know, you're going to look at over-unders. I mean, heck, we just had to read the last segment for Yen's chat where we're doing over-under for completions.
Right.
And those are essentially parlay plays in a lot of other places. So, you know, Von Miller has a history of doing this, right? You know, Von Miller tries to create the chip.
Like Joey?
Joey can
take a little slight and make that into something that's almost international.
it's Michael Jordan-esque, right? You know, you watch The Last Dance when we were at COVID. He's like, and I took that personal. Yeah. he's like, what are you talking about, MJ? No, there's nothing. You are the great one. You came out of retirement. And yes, we know how awesome you are. Why are you trying to make this a moment? But I'll tell you this. Related specifically to Von Miller, I remember when I was covering the Cardinals out here and they were playing a Thursday night football game against the Broncos, and Von came out on record when asked about going up against the Cardinals. The Cardinals were pretty good back then. And he said, you know what? He's like, we're going to kick their A.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell them we're going to kick their A
mm-hmm.
in their place on Thursday night. And so it was like, I was like, man, that's reverse cannon fodder. But he spoke it, and then they went out and did it. I mean, because I was there live in the stadium covering it. And I was just, I was floored. I was like, listen, it's not bounty gate times. Like we're not putting a price on any guy's head or anything like that, but I would have had a touch of Michael Jordan in me and I took that personal, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
If I get a chance to end you, I'm ending you. And if I get a chance to have a free shot legally, I'm taking it. I'm not pulling back on this. Because you just threatened my manhood, and there's no way I'm gonna let that fly. And knowing the type of dogs we had in our offensive line back then, yes, we loved to street fight. We might not have won in the technical standards of the football game, but in the street standards and the common sense standards, we were gonna beat you up. that's what you needed to know when you stepped in. You know, with our unit. I mean, yeah, because think about it. Big Juicy, you know, Chris Kiviatu was just waiting for a fight. Willie went out and actively searched for fights.
I was going to say, Willie he's one of those instigators, you know. He was back in my day.
Yeah, yeah. Willie was a fight waiting to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, and then whether it was Ramon or whether, you know, it was Kendall. I mean, Kendall was the quiet. Now I will say this. Okay, Kendall was the quiet one, but he was quiet mean. That's what we used to refer to Kendall as. Kendall would get pissed off, but he would keep it all inside. It was like one of those, you know, like the balled up fist, and he's not saying anything, and a tear kind of comes down his eye.
And then
like he's
all that of mad. A sudden, he is wrecking mad.
And then once the ball snapped, Kendall was unleashing as fast as he could and as hard as he could. So, I mean, the only person that might have been a diplomat might have been Jeff Hardings. I think Jeff was the diplomat on the team.
Yes. Yeah, he was very good at that. But he was also – here's the thing about Jeff, and I got to know him a lot after he retired and so forth, as well as covering him. You played, of course, with him and everything. He had that diplomatic and ability to flip the switch at the same time. You know what I mean? He kept it under control. He was always under control. Had to be. When you're at center, you have to be. Mike Webster was very similar. But Mike Webster was like a combination of Jeff Hardings and Kendall Simmons, because nobody really saw the volcano growing underneath until it goes. And I remember one time, we're up at training camp, and it's St. Vincent. It's, you know, it's hot. It's a 80, 90 degree day, whatever. And we're in the afternoon and everybody's tired towards the end of practice and we're in full pads going at it. And I remember Chuck was looking around the huddle and he, for some reason, fixated on Webby and goes, "What's the matter, Mike? It's a little too hot for you." And that was like a direct challenge at Mike. And Mike was just not one to take something like that. And he just, I remember looking at Chuck and he goes, "Just call the play." And he called the play, and it was a screen. He went like 20 yards down the field and cut another vet. I mean, just threw and chopped his legs out from underneath them. Lauren Taves, and Lauren was spitting mad at Webby, and Webby's like, he don't care. He's just, he comes back to the huddle, man. He's just smoking hot, and they call the next play. He goes up. He's killing people. The next play, you know, it's like you could feel the tension rising every time Chuck was, you know, standing near the huddle and the play's called and was a screen pass. And so what Webby did was he let this nose tackle, Joe Cuglieri, drive him backwards. He's a 300-pounder from IUP, right? So he knows that Chuck is standing off to his right behind the huddle, you know? So at the snap, he lets Joe drive him back, and he at a certain point, he turns and throws Cuglieri right at Chuck. I mean, it was like so intentional. You knew exactly what was going on. And Chuck jumped out of the way, and he goes, "Okay, that's, you know, everybody up. That's good. That's good." I mean, that was Mike. You know, he would be going. He was tough as nails. Everybody knows that. But, man, he had a volcanic temper when it got to that point where it was going to blow. And you just didn't want to be in the vicinity. It was like he was like Krakatoa waiting to happen when he got mad.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that that's something that every guy has, right? Every guy has the Hulk.
Point.
Yeah, it has the Hulk lurking behind every Bruce Banner, right? I mean, that's just the nature of man, and especially when you play this sport. Like, there has to be that switch. There has to be that button that if I press this, I am no longer responsible for my actions. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's plausible deniability. I mean, as long as I have a jersey and a helmet on, there are referees present, technically it's legal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
Like Doc Holliday in Tombstone, right? He walked up there to go see Johnny, and hey, he said, this time it's legal. It's legal. So if I hit this button, just know that bad things will come after this. But I don't want it to happen, but you know what I'm saying? If you keep pushing me and I have to hit this little red button right here, bad things are coming on the precipice. And Jeff had that skill set. I mean, Jeff had a controlled aggression that was that was awesome. You know, he was able to keep his head amidst all of the craziness, and especially with us. I mean, especially when I think of our 04 team. I mean, Oliver Ross and Kedrick Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
Big O wanted to fight everybody. Oh, Kedrick fought everybody. I mean, hell, in practice, he knocked Hokie out in practice. So, you know, Kedrick was just waiting. So, I mean, that's just an O-line mantra. Because, you know, once again, when you don't get stats, and you're playing literally every single play, even with injury, you know, you're going to be a little ornery. You're going to be a little itchy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I know.
Like, man, why did I put this burlap sack underneath my shoulder pads? You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, it's dry fit. It's actually a very cooling against the skin. No, it's burlap. I just want to hit something. So, you know, you have to kind of have that natural motivator in you. But no, Vaughn, I see you trying to create it. That's cool though. But you know, at the end of the day, I feel good about Chooks and Dan manning those responsibilities on the edges. I think they'll have a great bounce back day, and you know, they'll put old goggles there back in line. You know what I'm saying? I know I do say that because Von Miller, if you've seen Von Miller, he has some thick glasses he wears. I mean, those are – I don't really? Even know if he can get LASIK. I'm just saying. I mean, those things are like mini magnifying glasses on his face when he's –
Does he wear, contacts during the game or –
Yeah, I believe he wears contacts because I don't think rec specs fit underneath the helmet too easily. Remember the rec specs?
No, what are those?
Those were the basketball goggles back in the day where guys who had glasses. They were the ones that had the strap around the back of the head. They kind of look weird on your face.
Yeah,
they fog up every once in a while.
Kareem Abdul Adbald goggles. That's what they called him. You remember when he was he was wearing those goggles.
Yeah, no, and his were fancy because they were more rounded. The rec specs are like square.
Oh, okay.
Like Kareem had the fancy ones. They almost look like glasses.
Okay,
but you know, but Vaughn, I don't think he doesn't wear anything like that. I think he wears contacts. I mean, I don't remember. It's all a blur to me when I played against him. It was his rookie year. It was my last year in the league. But yeah, no, he definitely when he's not playing football, he definitely wears some humongous like Run DMC style glasses, and those things are those aren't for show. Those are prescription strength.
All right, man, I think it's time for you to take us out because we're going to come back with the scouting report, right?
Yeah, we do have the scouting report for the Buffalo Bills.
Yes,
the land of the large prairie animals. Coming up very soon, but once again, Wolf, if you miss any of our show, you could always go on that. Remember we're talking about the Inns Chat Read?
Right.
You know how we have that Steelers official mobile app? Well, guess what? You could go on that same app and catch this show in podcast formatation. So if you miss any of this, you could always go on SNR. We have a great lineup of SNR podcasts available to you. We got the Blitz. We got the Standard. We have the Godfather himself doing his that dropped yesterday. So every Tuesday and Thursday, his podcast drops. And then, of course, the Game Day podcast with Mike Tomlin. You can go on the Steelers official mobile app where you also have Yen's Chat. You can also go on iHeartRadio app or wherever else you may podcastify. But when we come back, we will start the breakdown of the Buffalo Bills and the Steelers for Sunday's matchup here in the locker room with Wolf Starks on FSNR and ESPN Radio.